to Who You Know with Dmitry Samarov. Today, I'm sharing a recording from Tangible Books for the book release for Making Pictures Is How I Talk to the World, which is my art survey book that I published a couple of weeks ago. I invited my friend Jasmine Drain to have a conversation about it, and I think we did pretty good. The AC kind of made some of the recording muffled, but I think you'll still be able to hear what we talked about.
I'm Dmitry Samarov. This is Jasmine Drain. We're going to talk about this book of art and shit that I just put out. Wanted to first thank Tangible Books, of course, for letting us do this here. Thank Mars Brewing for phoning a free beer, and Paul Petratus for bringing up a couple of Modelos. You can fish a Modelo out there. That's courtesy of Paul Petratus, who's sitting right there. Yeah, just, This is the beer rep for Modelo is here. So yeah, there's not going to be any like reading because this is it's basically a picture book. There's some writing in it, but you can read it yourself. I'm not going to read any of that shit out loud. But yeah, I
you
invite
could. You could.
I could, but I won't.
I didn't ask you to do it. I just said you could. I didn't say, you know what?
Thank you for the vote of confidence.
I take it back.
But yeah, I asked Jasmine to do this with me because we meet up, I don't know what, like every month or two or like when you're around, and we have these long talks, and a lot of them are about art. Yeah. And so I knew this would be a guy that I could do this with.
You know, he didn't want me to have any like real questions. So he's like, we're just going to sit and fucking talk. And I'm like, well, we do that, but I've never done that in front of an audience. So, you know, roll with me.
It's an experiment. Yeah, we'll see what happens.
All right, I'll roll with it.
Well, you did that thing at the library.
That was not on purpose.
I know. So Jasmine had this thing at the library in the giant auditorium.
The big, big one.
Yeah, downstairs, and it was really poorly organized because it's the fucking library.
Meech, poorly organized would mean that someone organized it.
Right, it wasn't organized, but I was there, and there's like, three, four writers. There's no moderator. They got him up there.
And I said, turned into a super moderator.
And Jasmine took over because there was nobody running the fucking thing.
You want me to do that today?
Sure, all right. That's why I invited you. But this is all planned, so it's not going to be like, what do we do now?
And you know they got me on tape saying, what the fuck
really?
Is this?
You say what
when I sat down, I didn't know we were recording. So I sat down at the thing, and I go, wait, what the fuck? We're just supposed to talk? They got me on the recording, so when you play the recording, that's me. Everybody says that.
Oh, yeah, and before we start talking my dumb book, let me say
you're not going to get away with that.
No, so. let me say what I want to say.
Okay, I'm sorry.
So Jasmine wrote this amazing book called Stateways Garden. It's one of the best books about Chicago I've ever read. And then he refused to bring any copies because this is my night. He says,
yeah, absolutely.
But you can track down this book. It's just great. It came out 4 years ago, 5 years ago.
That's 4 years.
Now. 4 years ago.
Yeah, that's 4 years.
Yeah, look it up. It's great. Okay. Anyhow, and there's going to be more. From him coming soon,
so
in the
say.
Near future.
So they say.
That's the word on the street. But okay, actually, take over. Now you can take over also.
No, really, the first thing I wanted to ask you, because I don't know, I did write a couple.
See, you wrote some stuff.
I did. Okay, so everybody, if you guys...
Yeah, there's copies over there. One last thing. If you want to buy one of them or any of that stuff, buy from me afterwards, not the store, because... I want to pay the credit card fees. It's not fair for the store to be, if they're not keeping any of the money, to be charged. So just come see me after we stop talking. Anyways.
Okay. My question. So anybody that knows Dmitry knows he's a cabbie, former cabbie. Okay. So I didn't expect you to start off here.
Yeah.
You know, that I didn't expect to see that. And of course, placement is everything. So you got to explain why is that. I mean, that's so long ago in your life. So why did you start there with that?
I played around with a lot of, I mean, it's just there as end papers. I love books with end papers, and I like something in color. And on this one, I had a choice of having two different images. So I maybe...
Meaning on both sides.
So, well, so on the back, there's one of the CTA drawings the back. So maybe past and present, or past and future. Modes of transportation, it's about motion, you know?
But if we're going to talk about the CTA pictures, I don't even see them as that, because you kind of obscure. I mean, people that ride, you know, we're familiar with Chicago transportation, we'll know what it is. But the fact that it's, I didn't know whether it was bus, L, or what. Mm-hmm. I wasn't able to, that was intentional, right?
They were all, they started off and centered around the riders. So I'd work out from the riders, you know. It's not like I would draw in the whole structure of the bus or the train and then put people in. Well, because people would get up and leave, I would get them, and then I'd go on to the next one. And if there was a seat or a pole or a sign, uh-huh, I would draw that after. So it was constructed piece to piece to piece, you know.
Oh, on the go. You were adding them as you went along. You were kind of just compiling.
On the ride, but all those people didn't necessarily sit together at the same time.
Oh, yeah, that's exactly what I'm saying.
Yeah. So I would ride, like, from one end of the, you know, from the beginning to the end of, say, like, the Orange Line.
I didn't read all of the passages since I just got the book. You wrote that? Did you write that story in here?
About the CTA people?
About how you compiled that like that.
No, you had to be here live. Come in and have a seat if you like.
That's one of the stories you should have wrote in here, man.
Well, maybe that's for the future.
I wanted. So, did you have a plan? Like, was that just, did that just come to you that day, and you just said, "I'm going to go get on a train and I'm going to do this thing"?
Well, I'd been drawing on trains and buses like since I was a kid. The problem was I wanted to turn them into color, and it took a long time to figure out how to do that without doing it afterwards, mm-hmm, from drawings, which I don't like doing. So then I finally settle on these color markers. So I have this bag of markers, and I would sit and pick them out of there and draw with the different colors.
When you're sitting on the train, are you doing like a format that you're later going to color in?
No. It's all done. There's no underdrawing on any of this. This is all what you see.
That's
what you
technically
get.
What you call it, underdrawing?
Yeah. I don't know. There's some painters here. What the fuck do you call it? I don't remember.
The reason that I brought that up as a term, uh-huh, is because I wanted to use that as a segue for you to explain to me. I just learned how to pronounce the word. Is it gouache?
Gouache, yeah.
Gouache. You got it.
Very few people know.
Well, you know, I'm going to do a little bit of work. You know, I'm going to do a little bit. So
I'm already impressed with all this. Okay, the pink, all the notes in there.
Okay. Here's one of the ones that I marked as gouache, right? Because, of course, I'm confused. I didn't know I'm watercolor, whatever. It looks like it could be,
yeah,
like pencil. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So please explain.
What gouache is?
Yeah.
Sure. Yeah.
More so, not so much something that simplistic. I don't want to be insulting, but what makes you decide to go that route? Because everything in the book, you got different stuff. We got charcoal. We got everything in the book.
Yeah.
So, what makes you decide? That's a real question, though. Like, what makes you decide, mm-hmm, what form or which way you're gonna go with a painting, drawing? What is it? Is it how you see it?
It's a process of elimination. I mean, there's a lot of failure before. I try a lot of different ones before I find the medium that works. I mean, gouache is great because it's like watercolor, but it's got chalk in it, so it's opaque rather than translucent. So you can do layers, you can cover stuff over, which with watercolor you can't. Watercolor you only add, you can't subtract or redo. Like it's not very forgiving.
Sounds very limiting then.
It is. I mean, it's a different kind of challenge. So you can only add. What's the advantage to it then?
What's the advantage to watercolor? I mean, other than the obvious of the way it looks.
Yeah, well, the way the colors interact is unique, and that gouache can't do, where there's layers, thin watery layers, the way a watercolor looks.
You can't.
The thing that you appreciate about it is the immediacy of it. You don't have to wait a long time for it to dry.
No, unlike say oil paint. You can go
from thin to dark, opaque, and do it very quickly. And that's like something I've noticed in your work. You just sit in front of a thing and capture the thing as quickly as possible before somebody walks off the train or moves the books on your shelf or the bottles on your bar.
So I guess the answer is it's sort of finding the right tool for the job, so and expediency. But like I couldn't do the gouache on the train because I need a cup of water. I have my paints and stuff. It just wouldn't work because of the motion. But I can do that, say, in a coffee shop or at home where it's more stable.
Have you had images that you've sketched and then painted in a different way later? So if you see something, say you're on the train and you're not planning to work, you didn't have an idea, something comes to you, do you sketch it? Well, can you sketch something out and then later you'll say, I want to change it into some other kind of thing? Is that a normal thing, or is it just...
It's not normal, and I don't like working that way.
No?
But a lot of the illustrations in the cab book,
yeah,
they're that way because they're done from memory or from,
I was under the impression that a lot of stuff that you do is done from memory, and I'm learning now that that's not...
No, most of it isn't. Most of it... What I really like the most is a direct observation, just being there. That's the whole thing.
Back to the immediacy that we're seeing.
Yeah, so I do another thing I do is I do these drawings at concerts.
Yeah.
And I figured out that the best way for me to do that is in a sketchbook with a ballpoint pen, because it's mobile, it's small. I don't need any other thing, and I can just hold it in my hand. I don't even need to sit down. But imagine if I set up a fucking easel at the front of the stage. That would be a little distracting.
And a little narcissistic. A little narcissistic, too.
A little bit. Yeah. Well, there's these jazz shows, and I've been part of some of them where they invite a painter to do like a live painting. And most of them are like really embarrassingly bad. Because they're like trying to interpret music and... Like they're trying to...
It's like a
fucking performance. Yeah. They do this shit, and that's not what I'm trying to do.
You are such an art snob.
Oh, yeah. I'm such a snob. You absolutely. A snob. Proudly so.
I thought I was until I met you. You are terrible. You are terrible.
The worst, yeah.
The worst. I've seen... When I looked at... I just got the book this week, everybody. I was working, so I was out of town. I came in. So a lot of it that I'm seeing... I'm familiar with, let's say, about 30% of what's in here, maybe 25, 30. There's a good significant, right, yeah. There's a significant amount of stuff that I've seen. Even at his place, he's got stuff. But there was a lot of stuff that I've never seen. Uh-huh. I've never even seen you do that kind of stuff, uh-huh. And this was one of them.
Oh, yeah.
I did not understand it at all. Of course, I get it, what it is and all that. But I would never be inspired by such... an image, of just
a kitchen.
I didn't even know it was in the kitchen. The focus to me is the light, of course, yeah. Right? Yeah. Because it's the only thing that has no shading inside.
Yeah.
And of course, you're excellent with how you're bringing the light from above, so that works. But you just clued me into the fact that it's a kitchen.
Yes, it's a kitchen table. Yeah. So that was that. Well, for one thing, that's really, really old. That's from like 1991 or 92.
Really?
Yeah, so it's over 30 years old. It was when I was in art school.
You don't even do this style anymore, do you?
Who's to say? I mean, there's aspects of it that are left. But there are people that they know me from stuff like that, and that's all they want me to do, and I don't know that I could do it or would want to.
That's what I was going to ask. Is it more of I wouldn't want to? Because you wouldn't want to go back there? You don't want to.
I don't know. I mean, can you ever really go backward? I don't think you can. You can do it's like you have a band and you do a cover,
Mm-hmm.
You can do that, I guess. But it wouldn't feel true. Not really.
That's
yeah.
a fair point. That's
you know
point.
What I mean?
Yeah, that's fair. That's fair.
But that's, I'm still a student there, and I'm really, really going through the influences, and I'm looking at a lot of art, and I'm trying to process it.
Are we always students? I still feel like I'm a student.
Okay.
Are we always students?
I hated being a fucking student. I hated it.
But I
did
think
you like it?
No.
Well, see, there you go.
I do think, though.
No, I have to get drag kicking and screaming. I do learn
you'd
stuff.
You'd be in front of me, though. I wouldn't go back. I wouldn't go back. I just.
Oh, yeah, not for $1 million. To go back? I mean, learning. Well, no, from your what you said about aren't we all students? Like, so you're still learning stuff, right? From somewhere.
I feel like I am, you know.
But the idea of being in a classroom and having formally have a teacher tell you shit.
To that point, though, I felt like I didn't learn anything. You learn what they want you to know.
Yeah.
But it's their aesthetic, you know, that's their taste. So, but I do think anybody that realizes at whatever point that they get serious about being, I don't know whether we use the word artist or you're going to, once you leave school, if you go to school, if you go through formal training, you leave that and then you make that decision, because you do, to decide you're going to do that. Those are the people who probably do hate school, the schooling of it the most, but you don't know why. Because you're not allowed to think of it the way you are, it's coming naturally to you at that time.
So this one, the one you chose, the drawing of the kitchen, it's in Logan Square on Logan Boulevard. It's this huge apartment. A couple of the people here.
Of yours? This was
Yeah, this is where me and my girlfriend live with a couple other people. But so this was me. I was doing this. This wasn't a homework assignment. This was the stuff I was doing at home after I got back from school, because I was doing my own stuff too, trying to get the real shit done. I was trying. So this is an example of that. Yeah.
It does not look as old as you said.
Yeah.
I mean, of course, the date's there, so, you know, I knew that.
I'm not making that up.
I mean, you know.
Are you saying I don't always tell the truth, Chad?
Yes, I'm saying that. Yes, I'm saying that.
Fair.
I wanted to go to, this is, to me, one of your more popular works.
Oh, yeah, The Nightlights, yeah.
That's one of your popular works. Now you get the chance to talk about it with me. I've never really asked you about it. You cursed
okay,
me.
Okay, well, what would you like to know about it?
Well, it seems to, you know, even when I look at it, from, what year was this again? What year did you do this one?
That one was,
I can't see it in the dark.
Was it 05, 06? 06. Something like that.
So this is effectively when you felt like you kind of knew who you were as Dmitri Samarov, what you do. Like did was that?
Ooh, that's a whole other thing.
Okay, well, give that thing to us.
I don't know if anybody ever knows that.
That's the student thing that I'm talking about.
Okay, all right.
Gotcha. you're still learning.
Thank you, Professor.
I'm only gonna let you say that once. One time.
One pass. One hall pass.
All right. So. Yeah, so go ahead.
Did I know? So, let's see. 2006, how old was I? So, I was 35 or 36 at that point.
Mm-hmm.
Did I know? I mean, to me, I was trying to do the same thing I was trying to do in that other one you chose. Still trying. I was looking at a thing trying to communicate something of what I saw.
What was
to get the marks.
What was the message?
Oh no, I'm not gonna say anything about what it means or anything.
You're not gonna tell us what it means.
I don't do that stuff. You do a picture because you don't have the words for it. The thing of doing a picture is not instead of, it's a different, that's the language of it.
Absolutely.
I could give you a bunch of interpretations and then that's all you would think, and it would fuck up whatever strength or whatever the message was. It would be obscured. It would be gone by my stupid words, you know? And I've done plenty of that, like all kinds of stupid things. If I've gained any wisdom is to know every now and then when to shut the fuck up about, because I used to be one of these people, like people would like something I made and then I would tell them how they were wrong. And they were like, basically what it amounted to was I was telling them they had bad taste and they were dumb for liking a thing I made that I thought was shitty. And I can still think it's shitty, but I know now not to say it. You know?
You would not tell someone that now something that you think is shitty of yours? I would.
Well, now I try and throw away most of the shitty stuff. I hope I'm better at editing than I used to be, you know? I'm hoping.
In the process of that, so you say you don't want to use more, so did you struggle with putting the passages inside of here? Did you struggle with that as far as writing in it? Did you want it to just be, because you're saying it like, I don't want to tell anybody anything, give any kind of prescription.
Well, that's what the text kind of says. It introduces the different genres. It's sort of organized roughly the way my website is. It's divided up into different motifs and different things that I like to do, like cityscapes, like paintings of bookshelves, like portraits. It's divided up that way. But I don't think any of the sections go too far into saying like what the intent or what the meaning is, because I think that's just like a fool's errand. And I think it does a disservice. It doesn't let the thing do what it's supposed to do, the picture.
Which is communicate.
Yeah. Which is say something to you that maybe it doesn't say to somebody else.
Sure.
You know what I mean?
Sure.
I mean, we have these conversations all the time, like we're in email. Like Jazz will ask me to send him an image that he liked or like a better file, and then he makes a print of it. And you're using it for whatever you use it for.
I put them,
yeah.
A lot of the times, wherever I am and I'm working,
yeah,
I'll print it.
Yeah.
And I'll make a, you know, you could buy 8x10 stuff out of Walmart for, you know, 4x4.99, I hang it up. And
yeah.
A lot of the images, I'll use certain things I may see in your stuff. Not necessarily use it in my work, but whatever it gave me, I'll see it, and it keeps me there.
Well, that's exactly what a picture can do that, like, a bunch of words can't.
What you mean, a bunch of words?
Well, like, if I told you instead of...
I do words, man. That's what I do.
No, but it's just a different way of communicating.
Yeah, but you...
I'm not saying one is better than the other. I'm just saying there's a difference. Well, maybe. Well, but if we go there, I mean, I think music is better than all of them put together.
It's easier.
It's more direct.
Sure.
Like you can just, sure. You can do that and make music. You don't need a pencil. You don't need a piece of paper. You don't need a container or vehicle the way we do, you know?
Agreed.
But it's different. It's just different. But this is how it's supposed to work. Like you wanted the picture for whatever you needed it for.
Right.
Without any of my explanations, you know, to inspire you.
Well,
you got your own thing out of it, and you have your own purposes for it, right?
Yeah, but I know you well enough not to try to glean any of that from you. You know what I mean?
Uh-huh.
I know you well enough not to, because you're gonna pull back if I asked you that. Just like even in the question just now, you're not gonna do that. So I'm more attracted to the work of yours that is a little bit more vague. You know what I mean?
Uh-huh.
I am. I have to be honest about that. I am. Even in the mixed media ones that, you know, I'll try to get to, we'll talk about it a little bit. Those are the ones that...
The later stuff. Yeah.
But this is... I want to show everybody... Oh, you're giggling, so you know. This is... What is that? That's a rejected children's book, right?
Yeah, that was... I did a bunch of spec kind of watercolor and ink illustrations for this fucking asshole friend of my parents. Who, you know, he's one of these old guys that has a career, and then he thinks he's got wisdom, and he's going to write a children's book. And he sent me this fucking thing, and it was so bad.
The book itself?
Yeah, I don't think he ever did anything with it, but there was this idea, this tenuous idea of me doing illustrations for it. And I did a bunch of illustrations. Some of them he liked, some of them he didn't. But, you know, he suddenly became an art critic, and he decided that he was going to know how I should draw and what I should draw, which I didn't react so well to. And the thing that killed off the whole project is this illustration that...
Oh, it's...
Because
okay.
It's a little red car with a bunch of children drowning, you know, which is the scene
in
this
fucking
book.
No, say it again louder so people can hear that.
So there's the little red car is the hero of this stupid book. And... There's a scene where I think the car dives in to save the drowning children or something, and that's what I painted, was a bunch of drowning children in a red car in a fucking lake, you know?
Dude, it can't be a children's book. It looks tragic.
That would make a really good children's book. Children need to learn these lessons. What? Don't go chasing your car in the water?
Don't trust a stupid car to solve your fucking problems.
So you
don't
expect this dude to want you to put this car...
No, I think by the time I did that one, I was really trying to sabotage it.
Yeah, you got
like
you.
I was gonna push him.
I think everybody kind of got that.
Yeah. This is one of these guys. Everybody's got like this. Your parents' friend who just torments kids.
Okay.
Yeah. And it's a guy that never really grew up, but he's going to go in whatever the children's room, and he's going to test the kids in various ways, say shit to them, you know? This was the guy. This is my, like, least favorite friend of my parents I ever had, probably. But it was a test that I failed. It was when I was trying to start, sort of, see if I could make some money doing illustrations for people. And I totally flunked that test. I failed.
The story that you just told us from it doesn't sound like you failed to me.
No.
No.
How did I succeed?
It sounded like in the moments of you, it sounded like you used it as a moment to punch him the fuck in the face.
Yeah. I did.
You used it.
Yeah, but I didn't get the job of illustrating a stupid book.
What? Can I ask you, what was the commission of it? It wasn't going to be too, you know, it wasn't.
No, he didn't pay me shit. I mean, he wasn't. Maybe he paid me something, but like something for my trouble, something to make me go away, basically, you know? Yeah.
Oh, because you were pestering him after a while, like, where's my money?
Oh, I don't think I did that with him, because it was worth more money to me not to have to talk to him ever again, and I haven't. And that was like, what's the year on that one? Oh. That's like 20 years ago, I think.
Yeah.
50, or at least 10.
No, it's only 12 years.
12 years ago, okay.
22.
I'm trying to push it back further into the past than it is. I haven't learned as much as I think I have.
Is that this one here?
Oh, yeah. That
okay.
That painting is actually hanging up in this room.
This one here. Yeah. Everybody knows this. It's been what? I've seen it before, right? Because you put this on the internet, haven't you?
Or is that one's been around for a bit. I mean, that one is it's less than 10 years old. It's from my previous... Not my current Bridgeport apartment, but the one before, I think.
Always connected to... Did you paint these all in sequence, the bookshelves? Did you paint them in sequence, like, different, and you rearrange? Because the reason I'm asking that dumbass question is because I'm thinking about the one with the Algren golden arm in it, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And so, you know, that one stands out to me because we love Algren, you know, so...
Yeah.
I always kind of drop... But I was always wondering, like, was that kind of a space that you were just like, I mean, just...
No. One of the fun things about the bookshelf paintings is the bookshelves always change. So each time I go back to it, things have been rearranged because I've added and subtracted books. So each one's like a way of kind of checking in. It's a kind of, you know, indirect self-portrait. The books I'm looking at, the books I'm thinking about. Yeah.
I didn't expect that answer. I didn't expect that.
But I started doing those... Jesus, over 25 years ago, and I go back to them every couple of years, because I look at the bookshelves, and they're different every time.
What makes you go back to it? What do you get from that, going back to it like that? Because you said you don't go back, so...
No, I mean, it's a new thing, it's in my house, but it's in a new state.
Do you refer to the old ones any?
No.
Look at them when you're done with the new ones?
To compare, you mean?
No, I don't want to say compare. That's a little... I don't want to say compare, but, make, you know, just some kind of analyzation or something. I don't want to say compare. That's a little...
Every now and then, I'll do one, and it reminds me of another one, and I check how close it is to another one.
Yeah, that's what I'm asking.
And it's like, fuck, you know? Like, I repeated it. You know?
That's
like,
what I'm asking.
And, I mean, we all have only so many tricks, you know? There's only so many moves you can make. So they're all a recombination of the same moves. I mean, one of the things I really love about the bookshelf is that it's sort of a still life, but it hasn't been prearranged to be painted. What I never liked about still lives is the setup.
You wrote that in there.
Yeah, that's in there.
You wrote about that.
Yeah. There's another section which is like, I think I call tabletops. It's stuff on... just a bunch of crap on a table that got there from use, from like after a meal or a desk that was used for writing or whatever was done at a desk. And I'll paint the things that are, or draw the things on the desk. And these work kind of in a similar way. It's also it's a really different space than a lot of other spaces I use. It's a lot shallower because, you know, it's only a couple of feet deep.
Sure.
And it's almost flat. And it's this arrangement of colors, you know. It's a different kind of challenge compositionally.
Unpack for me,
yeah.
I guess the audience is fine. The aversion to still life.
Oh, it feels like homework. And it feels like we're talking earlier about meaning and putting meaning inside of a painting.
Right.
So a still life has a collection of objects, and each one stands for something in a traditional still life.
Metaphoric or literally?
Well, yeah, when you know, somebody in Holland in 1700 plops a skull next to it, you know, it's memento mori, and it's about the vanity of life.
Sure.
And there's all these meanings. Well, I don't want to telegraph messages that way.
That goes against everything you think. Right.
Right. So that's what I mean. It feels like homework.
It makes sense.
Yeah.
Like some stuff that you get.
But I like painting things, just household things. But I need to just come upon them. As if, and look, I've done like, you know, whatever, 50 of these bookshelf paintings. So by now I know that at some point I'm going to do another one. So there's definitely premeditation. So I'm sort of fooling myself a bit, you know?
That's honest.
Yeah. But it's not like I set up this book because it's this size and it has this name on the cover. So it's going to send somebody a message. There's like a hidden meaning or something. I don't like that. I don't like that.
Well, that one with Nelson Auger in it kind of looks like...
Well, that's it's a straight tribute, yeah.
Right, that's
and
what
I'm saying. And I've named many of them after favorite artists, you know.
Because everything else
I have one called
painting.
Matisse, I have one called Soutine.
I've seen that.
And these are just tributes, you know. But that's because... But they didn't start out being that. It's just that inside of those shelves that I happened to be looking at was a book by Matisse.
Uh-huh.
And I wrote... at least part of his name in there, and that makes sense. And then you have to come up with a name for these paintings, and that's always a problem because I know when I name something, it's going to direct somebody what it needs.
Yes, exactly.
Right. I could have, some of them are just numbered the way that a lot of abstract artists do this. They just like number one or something, number two. Because they don't want to direct people into thinking a thing.
In your he's got in his in your tablet, right? We were sitting at a Rainbow, and he pulls out the tablet, and the thumbnails were probably half an inch.
Uh-huh.
And scrolling like this, and I'm like. And you told me that you organized them. When you told me, you said, I got to the point where I just did it by years after a while. You remember when we were sitting there and you were showing, you don't remember it?
No.
You were showing me.
When was that?
Did you drink that much?
No. We meet lots of times.
We were sitting at Rainbow.
We were at Rainbow.
And you pulled out the tablet and I was like, oh, look. And it was... And you just kept going.
No, I don't remember that. We were drinking pretty good that day.
I remember what I do. You just told on yourself.
Well, right. You know.
Now, I'm going to be a little selfish here.
Okay.
I'm going to be a little selfish. This is my favorite. You know what I struggle with? Is it?
It's this way. It's horizontal.
It's horizontal like this?
Yeah, it's like that. Yeah.
This is officially my favorite Dmitri Savinov work. This is... I remember the first time I saw it.
Uh-huh.
I didn't know what it was, and I didn't need to know. You know what I mean? I just knew. There you go. That's it. I just knew. This is actually the first one that I asked you to send me.
The
first one that I asked you to send me a digital.
Yeah, and that's from like 3-4 years ago. Yeah.
Really? So yeah,
that's from COVID time because I started doing these collages during COVID.
Right.
Yeah. But yeah, that's from COVID time. Yeah.
What brought about collages? That was when you first started doing the collages, right?
Yes. I mean, I'd done a few here and there, but because once again, kind of expediency or adapting to the situation, I couldn't go to all the places I went like everybody else,
right.
Like coffee shops and bars and buses and trains. So I had to get my subject matter somewhere else. And what I found was these drawers and drawers of old crap, like letters and other notes, mementos. So what this is made of, this one that Jazz is talking about, the background is this manila envelope that came from my dad was, and he's alive, but he's retired. But he's a mathematician, and he taught statistics at a college. And I think that had tests or homework assignments in there. There's some writing on there.
Right.
And I'd used it to store something else, but I took it out of a drawer and started kind of sticking stuff to it. And that was the ground, or like the where it started.
These are stenciled though, right?
This is, yeah, there's stenciled letters on there. Yeah.
What does it read? Can you tell me? I used to think it was trying to say numbers or and I didn't know. I was
those pieces, I would just put the whole stencil, the whole plastic thing down and do fragments of letters of the whole alphabet.
Okay, yeah. So I am looking at the right letters then. Okay.
Yeah. Yes, I think it's a part of an alphabet. Some of them would form words, but not whole words, because I was very sensitive to not telegraphing meaning.
Sure.
Because once you put a whole word in, that's what it's going to mean.
And you just named it and everything.
Yeah, you named it. Yeah. But also, these are an attempt, contrary to what I just said, to bridge the art and the writing, because I've done a little bit of writing, too, over the years. And now I really, really want them to be one thing. And this is the closest I've gotten, these collages.
Why do you want them to be one?
Because it's enough. Like, there's much better writers like you doing writing, like real fucking writing. I'd like to just do this, you know, if possible. I'm trying to phase out the writing if I can. Or kind of put it off to the side where it belongs, for me personally. Not, and this is not a judgment about writing. Writers are great. Like, we're sitting in this bookstore, by the way, in a room. I moved all these books here, most of them personally, from next door. I set up a lot of these shelves, so I have a very personal connection to this room and this old store. And I love books. I love making books, but my whole relationship to writing over the last few years has been kind of evolving, and I really think, if possible, I'd like other people to do the writing. And that's hard to do, like, once you've done it and, you know, had any measure of success or readers.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
To put that away is hard, and I'm struggling with that, but I think ultimately it's right. I think. I don't know. This is just
Is that something you've been battling with for a while?
It's been a process. Yeah. But the collages are a little bit of a part of that.
The reason that's, I guess, for lack of a better adjective, interesting to me, because I find myself trying to get closer to you. In writing, mm-hmm. I find myself trying to paint.
Mm. Oh, interesting.
And that's just the honest, that's the most honest I could be with it.
How do you mean paint in writing? I mean, what do you
trying
mean?
Trying to give as much color and vividness.
But you're doing it in words, though.
Yeah, and so you have, there's a little bit of maybe envy there, I think, that from listening to you, I realize there's a little bit of, you know, you can just, a writer can, If you're dealing with a character or actor in your work, you're trying to develop that, okay?
Mm-hmm.
And if you're a real writer, you're as far away from them as possible. You're not, because if you're not, then you're writing about yourself, mm-hmm. right? So you have...
Which you're not into. Yeah, I would not. I know. Yeah, you don't do it. Yeah.
So you have the advantage that you can just have a portrait of a person and paint them in an emotional space. And I can get that energy from it.
There's
you have a
pluses and minuses about both, but you know, and limitations. Yeah. I don't know if that a painting doesn't replace it.
I'm not asking to replace it though.
Yeah.
I'm just saying it. Anybody to me doing any kind of art form has some level of you wish you could
grab this guy's stuff too.
Oh yeah.
And put it in here. You know what I mean? You do, even in music, even in you know, true actors, artists, anybody, you have that something else that you look at that I didn't even know that I had it at first. I didn't know, so I'm
that was a later thing?
It's a recent thing, even after meeting you, knowing you well, you know what I mean? It's I realized that there's
What did you think before? That it was just you doing this stuff all on your own, or
no, you just I don't want to say winging it, but you're just doing what comes to you.
Oh, okay.
You know what comes to you. And with that, your readers or your fans, to your point, they tell you what it is. You don't know.
Right.
You know what I mean? And then you see stuff that you, first of all, don't even remember doing.
Mm-hmm.
And second of all, you don't see it the way that they do, to your points. You know what I mean? And then after going back and looking back, you're like, that shit is there. It is there. I didn't see it.
Mm-hmm.
And then that's where I kind of understood myself in that way. Does that make sense?
It is, yeah, but you're still talking about working with words.
Sure.
Yeah, yeah.
But you're still coloring it, for lack of a better verb. You know, coloring.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's all.
Yeah. No, but like all the writing I've done is definitely will inform the paintings. It can't not, you know.
Yeah.
Like I can't get rid of that. I mean.
You dislike that?
No, it's just a fact. I mean, it's not, you know. It's not like I can go back to like a time when I never wrote anything, you know, and make something, even though all I'm doing is using like a pencil or a piece of charcoal, you know, to make marks. There's still words intrude sometimes, you know.
You simplify it a bit, you know, when you describe it. You always have, even in our conversations, you always have simplified it for me, you know, because of course when I see it, it looks I don't think
you need anything simplified.
I don't mean to be, you know, I mean that I don't paint. It looks to me, okay, can you pronounce that? Is it Sumi Sami?
Sumi ink. Sumi. Yeah, it's a Japanese ink.
I never heard of it before, first of all. Mm-hmm. So from my vantage point, I know it's not just regular watercolor, because, you know, as it comes out,
it works kind of like watercolor though. Yeah, I mean, because there's gradations, but it's monotone, you know, it's all just grays and black. Yeah,
it has a little bit of a bleed effect, like a watercolor.
Yeah, it does.
You get that.
But also, like we were talking about, contrary to like gouache, you can only add in Sumi ink. If you just use Sumi ink, you can add, you can't subtract or cover over, because it'll just get darker and darker and darker, and then there will be nothing. So it's a little bit more of a tightrope with that, as opposed to gouache, which is a lot more forgiving. Yeah.
My next question, of course, is what advantages does it give you that makes that challenge worth it, though? You know what I mean?
It's got a depth.
I can delete. You know what I mean?
No, I know. But there's something about like walking that tightrope with the ink when you know you can't go back. It's like it's a different kind of performance, I guess.
For yourself.
Yeah. But, and I know that the things like gouache, that where I've painted things over, they're like corrections. They're like, whatever, liquid ink or whiteout or something.
Sure.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And it's different. And even if a viewer doesn't know it's there, I know it's there. I know I fucked it up and I needed to go back.
Really?
But so sometimes I want to do, so this is like the one you're talking about, it's called No Tank. It was done. Yeah, that was one of the ones I did sitting in my cab, out of the window of the cab.
No, sitting in the cab.
Yeah. Yeah, I did a lot of them. Like the one on the end paper, the gouache on the...
Oh,
on
the taxi one here?
Yeah, the taxi one.
Oh, everybody remembers that.
It was from inside the cab, sitting at the airport.
When you were waiting for a fare?
I was at the airport in the taxi staging area, waiting to be dispatched to go to the terminals, yeah. All those paintings were done that way.
There's enough room for you to sit there and with all of your stuff. I mean,
all it is, it's a pad about like 11 by 14. It's like that.
Uh-huh.
I could put it on the steering wheel. I just open the door.
Get it done any fucking way you can.
Exactly. Yeah. So that one, you know, it was done in a couple of hours, sitting on a break. And that was actually, it's like a few blocks from here. It's in Bridgeport.
Yeah, looking north towards downtown.
I always notice in your work, especially not the stuff that's the mixed media, but more so the actual paintings, gouache, mm-hmm. assuming, the things that you choose not to be exact with, know, the things that you choose not to do with precision, so that they're very clear. There's certain things. I always notice what you kind of blur in a way. And if I asked you that, it would be you telling me, you know, prescribing it to me, to your point of not, you know, like, why did you do this? Or why did you do that? And you would be like, I can't, I'm not going to answer that for you.
Yeah, I don't know if I'd be able to go back and tell you exactly on a lot of the, because it's such an in the moment, instinctive decision.
Even like this whole shrubbery section here, but this one is much more precise as far as you know.
Well, like you talk a lot in your writing about feeling like you're on a set of a, absolutely. Like you're a director,
absolutely.
And you're moving the camera around.
Absolutely.
So in a movie, you know, like some things have to be in focus and others are blurred. It's a similar thing. Like you can't have everything in focus because then you won't concentrate on anything. That's what's weird now with the newer movies that have all that drone photography.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And it's such a bizarre, you just know that it's not a human eye that's doing that because it's scanning everything in a way that no living thing could do.
Yeah, because
you know what I mean?
Has a taste and you will lead
to
something.
But it's scanning the entire thing as if it's all information that's equal.
Robotic.
But I can't do that because I'm not a robot. I'm not a machine. And that's, so those decisions like that, I don't know if I could tell you exactly what they mean or how, but that's part of it. Where like, so this will be in focus and this won't be in focus. And by that being blurred, it'll give more attention to the thing that's more
visualized. Are you conscious of it before it happens or as
no.
it? Oh, okay, that's what I'm... Okay.
I'm discovering it as
right,
it goes.
That's the right word. That's
just like, I have no ideas. I have no forethought about what I'm painting. It's just views or things I pass by every day until one day I stop and I decide that this is the thing that I'm going to make a picture of. But I can't tell you exactly why. And
you don't want to.
No, sure. Not in words. Yeah.
We're going to circle back to that again.
It's always back to that. Yeah. One of those recurring themes, you know?
This is the coffee shop, Jack Lope, where we always go drink coffee.
Nope.
Isn't that Jack?
Oh, yeah. Oh, no, it is. It is. I thought it was a... eyesight's
coming. I do this, man. I got you. I got you.
All right.
This is the coffee shop.
He's taking over.
That's what you told me to do. This is the coffee shop. This is
Jack Lope, yeah. Which is a block from here, basically. Two blocks.
And
that's where we first met. In person.
That's the first time we met, wasn't it?
I think so.
Okay.
Isn't it?
That makes sense. I marked a picture of rainbow in here, man, but I can't fucking find it.
Yeah, there's a rainbow in there. I think it's earlier. I think it's before the collages.
This is another.
All right. You need to take that, Paul? It's important.
No, it's something. California. I can ignore it.
Okay.
I wish I could find it.
That's okay. They should be in that section somewhere. That's that one on the left. Yeah, both of those are two rainbows. Yeah. That's a rainbow.
Everybody,
spread.
Look at how dark that is. This place is not that.
It's pretty dark.
When we go in there, it's...
Yeah, well, afternoons, it's...
This is from behind the counter, right?
That one is from the far corner.
Okay.
The very, like, where the photo booth is.
That's the register?
No, the bar is back here. That's there. That was a video game that was over there that
like
they don't have anymore. But so that's the door. That's the door.
You know, I didn't want to believe that was a video game, but it did look like Pac-Man to me.
Yeah, it was one of those.
I didn't want to believe it because I'm thinking in 2013, there's nobody with a, you know, a arcade.
Well, the rainbow is a place where time stands still. So, like, we don't move forward at the Rainbow Club. We're really mostly in the 90s, I think. That's where we stopped, 80s and 90s at the Rainbow Club. I worked there last night.
Another very popular Dmitry Samarov, which just means it's popular with me. I'm sorry about this. What? This is his place. So
that's another apartment. Yeah.
This is the one I thought this is the one I just went to. No.
No, no, that's another one.
So all his places look.
They
like
all
this.
Look like this. Yeah.
They all look
a
like
a shambling
this.
Mess.
They
yeah.
all look like every front room looks like that.
You know, it's like a yeah, like a snail carries the house on its back. Yeah. You know, like in the house is always the same that's, wherever it goes. That's I do. Yeah. This is the way they look.
I actually thought this was it.
No, but this is four. This is four houses ago.
Now when I look at it, I can see it.
That's clearly. The house where, like, your favorite that Nightlights painting.
Nightlights, right?
Yeah, it was at 24th and Western. Yeah, and I lived there from 04 to 2011, 2012, somewhere in there. Yeah. Yeah.
Okay, I think I covered all the ones.
Yeah.
I think I covered all
the ones. Lisey, did you have a question? I think
well,
there was a question.
It's kind of hard to see from your witch paintings.
Yeah,
those were,
I'm sorry.
The one that had the video game that used to be there? Is that
yeah,
the one that...
by the door. There was a...
Thank you.
That's the way you do it.
Yeah.
I was going to say, is that
audience
the one that
participation. Yeah.
Skylar had? Because it's definitely a different perspective.
Skylar's got... I don't remember which one he's got. He's got two of them.
Yeah.
He's got the charcoal, too.
Yeah, we've got quite the rainbow art collection in the house.
That's it.
And the Dimitri art collection.
Yeah, a lot of people that know me end up with the Dimitri collection in their home sooner or later.
Hey, that's honor, man.
That's all right.
You gave me one as a gift.
I'm not complaining about it. Yeah, I gave you one. Did I give you one of the CTAs? One of the CTAs, right?
It's
yeah.
coincidentally black people, too. I mean, what was that about?
Well, there's black people on the train.
I mean, you couldn't give me a... No,
I'll give you one with
no,
white
I,
people.
I love it. No, he gave me the actual original. Framed it. And I, you know, the frame is dirty. It looks, you know, he bought it. Would you say you bought the
frame? That's an IKEA frame. It's a shitty... You should reframe that. I told you you should reframe.
It don't look like a
it's an IKEA frame.
For real?
Yeah. I mean, you should keep the mat and the glass, but like the frame itself is, they were $10 each, those frames. Because I had to get 50 of them for a show. Can you imagine have to buy 50 fucking frames? You go to the cheapest place, and that's IKEA. It's particle board, and they warp, and they suck. You know, but like, it's all I could do at that point.
I have one more question I want to ask. Is any of the work in here from the show you did over on the East Side?
I don't know.
I didn't see anything.
I don't think I put any from the East Side in there.
I didn't see any. I didn't look for it. Why didn't you put in that? That's the, you had stuff you were doing over there, man, that you were doing on the fly.
Remember
I walked in that day, you were like,
yeah, there's that wall. That's, yeah, it's all gone. There's pieces, you know, but yeah.
Oh, man. I just thought some of that should have, at least one of those pieces.
Well, see, this is the problem. So, I made this book, I made the selections, and it's an art survey of my own work. And, like, I start, there is some text in there, and it says that somebody else should be writing this book. And that I believe that. But nobody else did, so I wrote the fucking thing. And I put it out, and I published it, and that's the story. So I chose what I chose. And...
Dimitri Shavarov, everyone.
Yeah, I won't argue with you. Maybe it's not the best selection. Somebody else could choose entirely different things. I've done a lot of shit.
You don't say.
Yeah, so and there's about, I don't know, 200, 250 images in there. Over 200, I think.
Easy.
Yeah, you could choose other ones. These are the ones I chose. I think it's a representative sample.
Absolutely,
you know?
It is. There's no disagreement there. You know me. I was being selfish. I'm sorry. I'll do better.
You're doing great.
Okay. Do you want to take any questions?
Yeah. Does anybody have any questions? I think we were just about done it.
I like how you draw the musicians.
The musicians?
Yeah.
Oh, the sketch ones?
Yeah.
They always look like schlubs. And as a musician, I said, oh, man, I'm going to have to look a little better.
Those are the ones that look like these.
Yeah.
Especially the bass players. But,
Are you a bass player, I take it?
No.
Okay.
No, he's a guitar player.
Oh.
No, but those are great sketches, but they're very anthropological.
That's
creatures in their natural habitat.
Well, yeah, that's what it's about. That's what it's all the most of them are about. It's about
really cool.
Catching some sense of like what it was like to be in a place at a time, you know?
I can't find them. I don't know where.
What are you looking for?
For those. You know what area? I'm just going to hold it up for the audience.
They can flip through them, incredible. You know, incredible. Like later. It's cool.
How was it being a roadie?
Oh, that was fun. Yeah, I went on tour at the beginning of June. I drove my friend Bill McKay, who's an amazing guitar player, on a solo tour. Kind of made a loop, starting in Indianapolis, ending in Detroit, and covering some of the East Coast and a little bit of the South. 8 shows in 8 days.
That's
yeah,
great.
I did all the driving because mm-hmm. I can drive. It was interesting. Every venue was different. I ran the merch table. At 6 of the 8 shows, he let me read stuff before, but after a couple of them, he sort of took me aside and told me not to read the stuff I was reading because it was too depressing. And so then I had to go, and he suggested I read some of the cabbie stuff because that was the happy stuff. I guess that was the happy story.
The cabbie stuff was the happy stuff.
Yeah. Yes, in the Demetri universe, yeah. Well,
cause oh, okay. In what, the realm of...
What I was reading okay. from was this book I put out last year of... put out this book of letters where I was responding to old letters going back 30 years in my life.
Yeah.
And it was about exes and about like dead people and it was about all this shit. That's what I was reading to these people that were there to listen to some like folk jazz style, folk jazz stylings of Bill McKay. And I guess I was bumming people out, but I did sell a bunch of books. So not everybody was bummed out or maybe they, some of them like riding a bummer as much as I do. I don't know. I don't know. But yeah, it was cool. I mean, my relationship to driving is, you know, whenever I get behind the wheel, it's work. It's just, yeah. I'm not one of these people that will go out for a drive
yeah.
for pleasure.
Are you driving forever?
Yeah, because I was a cab driver. Yeah, for 12 fucking years. So. It's not. It's just work.
Even now, you see it that way when you get behind the wheel.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, it's work.
Don't you drive when you go back east to your parents?
I drive. I drive east, and I just drove. I was in L.A. Visiting my little brother, who just had a baby, and there was a rental car. And you know, in L.A., all you do is sit in on highways. They're all just like punch drunk flies. They drive so slow in L.A. It's just really weird because they spend their whole life in a car. It's so horrible. I would never live out there, ever.
I don't think anybody from Chicago would.
A lot of them do because they're seeking fame and fortune.
Well, yeah,
you
gotta
know, go out. Because that's the business.
That's where you gotta go.
That's where you gotta go if you want to be famous. But it was miserable. I don't know. But yeah, being a roadie was fine. I like being useful. I can do a merch table. It worked out because Bill got to talk to his admirers, and I sold his shit. It was fine.
It was a good deal.
It was a good division of labor, you know? It worked. Anybody else? Any other questions?
Yeah. So you talked about not wanting to telegraph meetings. And a lot of artists, when they talk about their art, they use their art as a way of being precise about their life and things around them.
Uh-huh.
You also talked about the high wire act of using a certain ink.
Mm-hmm.
And so I started to wonder, like, what's the, like, how much of your compulsion or compulsion toward art, satisfaction, drug. How much is in the creation of it? How much is from the completion, like the work itself?
How much is from? Can you repeat the last part?
Yeah, like how much from the creation of it, like the act of creating, how much from the completed work itself?
Oh, it's all about the creation. The completed work isn't for me. The completed work is a communication for somebody else, and when they go back to my house, if they stay there long enough, they get either thrown out or painted over or incorporated into a collage now. They're not for me. The process is for me. The end result is for somebody else. And if it doesn't reach somebody else, then it's failed. That's how I feel, you know?
I'm going to steal that. I'm stealing
yeah.
that.
Take it. Free of charge.
Well, I would hope.
Well, I'll send you an invoice. Yeah. Anybody else? Yes, sir.
I just wanted to ask a question. You were talking earlier about the family being camp.
Uh-huh.
And how you see these same things all the time. But then at a moment's notice, you say, hey, I see something today that makes me want to capture this moment. Mm-hmm. But, you know, our lives, like you were saying about driving in L.A., we're surrounded by, you know, these things all the time. I want to know about that moment when you knew that this was the time I needed to capture this. Because I don't know, was there a good appreciation in that moment, or is it something about, was it a feeling to you, or are we talking about something spiritual, or is it like...
I don't know. There's a lot of I get it wrong a lot, but the stuff that I choose to not destroy is the result of the times I got it right, or right enough. You know what I mean? It's a lot of process of elimination, or, you know, trial and error. Yeah, I don't know. I don't know if I'd be able to answer it.
Does the thing that you saw enough times to stop you, is that an emotion? What overwhelms it enough to put you in front of the canvas? What you know what I mean? What comes?
Yeah, you know, no, I'm thinking about it. Yeah, I don't know if I could put it into words.
Yeah. Okay.
It's totally instinctive. It's really instinctive. It's so beyond words. Somebody smarter could tell you. I can't. I don't know why one thing rather than another. Just like if we're talking like with the analogy of the movie camera or still camera, you know, as soon as you move a camera, you're eliminating all the other things. And you do that in a different way with a painting or a drawing, and what you choose to include and what you choose to leave out, because no painting or drawing or photograph captures even a majority of what's out there that you see with your eyes and hear with your ears.
Sure.
So there's editing going the whole time, and you keep trying for it until it comes together where there's just enough on there to speak to somebody that sees it.
With the more unforgiving forms of ink, though, there is no editing, right? There's no editing.
There's no going back. You go in one direction with that. Yeah.
And you decide if that's good enough?
You decide when to stop before you kill it.
Gotcha.
Because a lot of them die.
Gotcha.
Yeah. Gotcha. But even with the more forgiving mediums, a lot of them die anyways.
Yeah.
It's still like the overworking, you know, or being unsure. Not that there's never any ultimate being sure, you know, but you do good enough. I always believe that every artist, writer, whatever, just keeps painting the same painting over and over again.
You always say that, but I don't buy it.
No?
No.
So you think each one's like a whole entire different thing?
The minute that you do the same one over, it's time to stop.
No, but you're doing a better one, a better version of the same thing.
We always are going to have that argument. I could not agree.
No, okay, that's fair. That's fair. I think it's the one.
If you're repeating it to me... You're saying you're just developing the same idea. Is that what you're saying? You're developing the same idea?
I think every artist or writer or whatever has whatever limits of their capacity.
Sure.
They have, ultimately, if there's one meaning, they're saying one thing. And the result is they're trying to say better or clearer. So it rings truer each time.
You know what? I
that's what I mean.
You may be pushing me over.
All right. But then, well, like in visual art, there's these the other people that keep changing styles. Like there's Picasso,
right.
Which is to me like a really bad example. I hate Picasso.
I think so.
For a lot of reasons, yeah. But one of the things is where he kind of gets on other people's backs and rides them where he needs to go, and then he gets off and gets on somebody else's back. And he's got a facility that allows him to do that, a rare facility of copying or imitating.
That's the word.
Yeah, or camouflaging. Yeah, he kind of hides himself inside these other people's shit, you know?
Yeah.
And which leads me to believe that there may not be anything in there. that he's not really bringing anything except for an ability to catch a style.
Well, he was in love with celebrity too. That's
well, but you know, the life of Picasso is much more interesting than.
But
the
that's
art
what I'm saying.
You know,
he wanted to stay famous. That was his deal. Yeah. So, but
no, but he was that way from the beginning. Like he was this child prodigy. He could
draw like an old master when he's like 10 or something, you know? And I don't, and they never left that. But then there's the other artist who just keeps like doing a still life, you know, like he does a still life and then he does another still life and then he does another still life. There's this artist, Mirandi, who just painted these dusty bottles over and over and over and over again, like for decades. Like that's kind of, that's inspiring to me, something like that. That's what I'm hoping for more than the other thing. Yet I'm definitely not nearly that focused on one thing, you know. But
I get it.
In sum total, I think that's what we're going for.
I get it.
Like a better way to say whatever the thing is you're trying to say.
All
right. Anybody else? Questions? Comments? Done?
Like your letters.
Oh, thank you.
You write a mean letter.
Yeah, I write a newsletter. So I don't do social media, but I do a newsletter. I've done a newsletter for, Jesus Christ, like 15 years at this point. That's my one thing, my little soapbox every Monday. You can go to my website and subscribe if you like. But yeah, that's... Thank you. Thanks, Paul. Anybody else? Are we done? Good. Well, thank you so much for being here. If you'd like to buy a book, come see me. Thanks, Jazz, for doing this. I appreciate it. And yeah. Thank you all for being here. All right.